this world has been connected. And now darkness within darkness awaits you.
In the end, every heart returns to the darkness whence it came.
My name is Ansem. I reach for the darkness.
One who knows nothing can understand.
Welcome to the Ansem Report Podcast. This is Season 2, Episode 1 of the longest-running Kingdom Hearts podcast in the world. Welcome back, everybody. My name is Mike, and with me, as always, is my brother, the very sexual, the very toit, the very British, Jason. Hello, Jason.
It's your boy. What up, everybody?
We're back, everybody. And thank you, everybody, for supporting us during this little two-week hiatus, we did there. As you may have heard, there may have been some Kingdom Hearts news while we were gone, and we're going to get to that. It's not really that big
of a course.
Deal. But before we do that, I just want to say, welcome to Season 2, and I kind of wanted to say why we went to a Season 2. And one of the big things that pushed us into Season 2, at least in my mind, Jason, is the new theme song.
Oh, yeah.
The new theme song.
Absolute banger.
By our friends Shane Plunkett and Jesse Wright of Meadow Vista Media. Shane Plunkett, you may know as Fabio the Iguana, juiced individual. And then that song also features Kingdom Hearts music legend David Russell on it. So we spared no expense here at the Ansem Report podcast getting this kind of. Fabio, you know, graciously said, yes, you guys may use this song for the podcast. And it has been a big dream of mine ever since we started this podcast. Like, I used the Hollow Bastion theme as, like, a stand-in, honestly.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, I need someone to make, like, a sick fucking, like, progressive rock, metal-y.
Oh, yeah. It would have to be that.
Of Hollow Bastion. Oh, yeah. And this theme, the Radiant Garden theme, because it goes into a bunch of different... It does, you know, Scuro di Nati, and it does all the different kind. Like, it basically, it covers Hollow Bastion / Radiant Garden through the times, the song. We only use the intro for the intro, but you'll hear the rest on the outro. And it's just, it's exactly what I wanted from that. With, like, when I imagined having this cool theme, I was like, this is exactly what I wanted.
Oh, yeah, dude. It's a fucking dream come true. It's so cool. Like, it's too cool.
Right. So
it is too cool for the podcast.
It is. And so, like, that led me to go, okay, if we're going to use this song, it's time for Season 2. And
yeah,
I was like, 151 episodes, it's kind of awkward. But then our good friend Tyler Tatterham said, hey, it's just like Gen 1 of Pokemon.
Yeah,
dude. 151. And, now,
it was a banger. It was a banger.
Now we're on the Cyndaquil and the Totodile.
Totodile?
Chikorita? Is that the other one?
Yeah, yeah.
Look at me, dude. Look at me.
I was like, you really going to disrespect Chikorita right now, but
no,
okay.
Dude, I remembered. So, yeah, that's kind of why we're doing Season 2. And also, we were talking about this before we started today, but, like, I don't want people to see... I want them to see the longest-running Kingdom Hearts podcast, right? But I don't want
them
to see...
Yeah, in the Omniverse, yeah.
Right. I don't want them to see 151 episodes plus. I can't start that.
Oh my gosh.
So, to those, if this is your first Ansem Report podcast,
welcome.
Welcome. This is a good place to start. We're in a new era of Kingdom Hearts. But maybe, you know, when you listen to this episode and you're like, you know, that was good. I got a little bit of an itch. You can go back. And it's kind of fitting. It's kind of like George Lucas says that poetry rhymes, because we started the podcast before KH3 came out and the hype inside KH3, and now we're starting.
That's true.
We're starting this podcast with the hype for KH4. So I think it's pretty fitting that we go to a season two, even though, like you said,
that makes sense.
Like you said, we have more episodes than most anime have in their seasons. So. And that's a big
I was thinking about it, just like, oh, somebody, like, they're watching season two or whatever, and they're like, oh, let me check out season one, and then they just see 151
right.
episodes
right.
like holy shit.
But anyway, the new theme song's here to stay. Shout out to Fabio and those boys. I'm gonna credit them again at the end of the show, and you guys will hear the whole song in the show if you for some reason missed it during March Caprice. Speaking of March Caprice, we are going to talk about March Caprice and KH20 at the end of the show, because we didn't really get a chance to unpack that. But now, Jason, it's time. Let's dig into this fucking Kingdom Hearts 4 trailer, dude.
Dude, I'm so ready, dude.
What? We're not going to... I did a reaction to the trailer. I'm sure you guys have seen it. It's a really good reaction. Go check it out on YouTube. But, Jason, what are your thoughts? What are your first overarching thoughts of this trailer?
Well, I guess there wasn't really, like, my reaction in it.
Well, yeah, that's why.
Except for the very end, but, like, yeah, so the first stuff dropped, and I was like, okay, like, that makes sense. The whole, you know, Dark Road coming to an end, that's dope. And
let's talk strictly KH4 first. We'll get to
strictly KH4.
Strictly KH4 part of it.
Strictly KH4. Dude, it was weird, dude. I still don't feel like it's real, and I think the main thing that I can attribute it to is just how different art style wise it looks, right? Yeah. It's not super far removed from like the like really like HD ass cutscenes that we get in like 3,
right?
Like the very end of Frozen comes to mind, right?
Or the Castle Oblivion with Aqua.
Yeah, where it looks really, really good. It's not super far removed from that, but otherwise, it just is like, holy shit, dude, this is crazy how good this looks.
Yeah, it looks really good.
And coming after that, the mobile game, like, mobile game graphics, you know? Like,
right.
All that type of gameplay, and then going from that, it's like an even bigger jarring feeling.
Yeah, it was, but, for sure.
Yeah, it reminds me a lot of... where in the very first like KH3 trailer that ever dropped, where he like picks up the Master Defender and stuff, it feels very much where it's like, I don't even know where this is going, really, right? Like, I know what led up to this, but I don't know what's going to happen. And so that's one of my favorite times in Kingdom Hearts is, you know, speculating about the trailers with people and all of the banging content that comes with it, with all the people who make, you know, all the crazy five brain theories, you know, such as the secret reports and Damo and Water Cage, all the absolute giga brains of the Kingdom Hearts community. I'm excited to see that type of shit. So.
Yeah, man, it's definitely popping off. I mean, you see, like, Gamer's Joint dude is living his best life. He's releasing like 6 videos a day. He really
is. Yeah, dude. Because I mean, I remember he like pretty much like quit content in general, like right when KH3 came out. So he didn't even have that. Like he did some of the like build up and stuff for 3, but that's because it was like fucking like 7 years or some crap of that.
Yeah.
But it's definitely super exciting.
People are popping off. I see our man Landy Lodge is posting like a theory video a day right now. He's popping off. Sonny Novus is like scouring I saw him. He was in our Discord server and other people's Discord server. Hey, so does anybody know who the narrator is? You know, like people are
just like scratching at the neck for any type of lore, dude. You love it.
And there's
chomping at the bit.
They did a Q&A at this event that we're going to tackle in a different episode. I want to make that clear because there's just so much we can talk about right now with just the trailer, and I don't want to do like a 3-hour episode and the next week we're like, so what do we talk about now? So we're going to be covering that next week. But just as far as the trailer goes, man, I think it looks awesome. I think the gameplay, to your point, looks a little like that trailer where for KH3 where he's jumping on the wave of Heartless and riding it, and it looks a little scuffed. You know,
it looks a little disjointed. Like, I don't know how that's going to work gameplay wise, but yo, it's cool. You know,
I think it's probably going to be similar to KH3 in that regard, where there's going to be like little like lights and stuff that go, oh, you can flow motion here and here and here. It's just for the trailer. They decided.
I think it's going
to
be more like the Rock Titan thing where you do part of it and then it just kind of turns into a cutscene.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. And that's how they normally handle big enemies, right? Even back to, like, Twilight Thorn. That's, like...
Yeah.
You know, how those
work. Well, it does look like there was a reaction command in it, though. So, it's, I guess, more akin to KH2 in that way, I guess, yeah. Or...
Well, I mean...
It does happen in... Like, when you use, like, a traction flow in 3. Like,
yeah, I
the
mean, the
mountain
Rock
coaster.
Titan, basically, that whole fight is built around that attraction flow and... shooting the cannons at the fist so it doesn't hit you. So that,
yeah,
you know, that kind of happens there. We haven't seen that in a long time because we typically speedrun the game and we skip all that.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's why, but you're right. That does happen there. I think the setting is super interesting. Like, I thought the setting was super interesting originally when they're like, oh, Quadratum, and we got the idea that maybe it was going to be a city that looks just like Japan, like Tokyo, Japan. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm really excited about that setting, and I think the realistic look works for that.
Yeah.
I don't think the whole game's going to be there. I know a lot of people are speculating. This is what Sora looks like now. It's like, there's going to be...
I don't think so either.
Right. People are speculating that it's only going to be realistic worlds that he goes to, like Star Wars, LOL, and other things. I think
that would be cool.
That would be cool, but I definitely think they're going somewhere goofy. You know what I mean? Like they're gonna go to some world where Sora's just going to be a high-def version of the cartoon Sora that we know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to go all like...
Well, and I would want that because right. It's like you kind of have to... When it comes to this type of stuff, you do kind of have to do it bit by bit. Because I remember, at least for myself, and I remember other people saying it, when KH3 came out, it just felt like KH3 Sora wasn't Sora for a second because it was such a big jump in fidelity. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
For sure.
Like, it took me a second to be like, oh, yeah, that's Sora. Like, no doubt, that's Sora. Like, it just took me a second to really wrap my mind around that this is this character. And... Yeah. I 100% feel that way with this trailer right now, just because it's so different. You know, all the people spam tweeting about his feet and shit, and his shoes are small and like all this shit. So it definitely just even down to that, it's weird. So I hope that there's other parts of that game where he looks more like he does in 3. So it's easier to, if they want to go down this road where it's a like just hyper realistic all the time type shit, that it would like ease us into that at least.
Yeah.
So I feel connected to the character still.
I've seen a lot of people be down on his hair, but it's like his hair.
It looks hot.
Anime wise, like for an anime that looks what it would look like, right? But like it's not realistic hair for the real world unless you use a bunch of gel and stuff. And so I think it's a really nice.
I think
compromise
it looks good.
Between that, like it's like, oh, this is what his hair would look like if he was a real person, right?
Yeah,
and yeah. I think it looks great. I think I love the redesign. I love everything about it. I think he looks awesome.
I always thought like Cloud in Remake, his hair looks stupid as fuck, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's they
like,
tried to go too spiky.
It really. Well, like yeah, because it's like they're trying to stay true to how the character looks, but like in that graphic. That type of graphics, it doesn't like work sometimes. It looks weird in certain situations.
Right. And I agree. And I'm glad they went the way they went. I know people are like kind of poo pooing it, but I think that's how you had to do it, you know?
Yeah.
What do you think about Strelitzia being there?
I honestly did not pop at all for Strelitzia.
I didn't pop.
Some people are going to be so mad at me. I literally did not even blink. I did not even blink. I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense. Like, but
I didn't pop for it, but I definitely, like in my reaction, I was sitting on the toilet, and that's the thing. I went like that. I gasped, not because I'm like, yo, Strelitzia, but I just can't believe that she was there, because I thought Strelitzia was going to be another thing that's like not solved by anything. You know what I mean? Like, I just thought it was going to be like, string us along with the next mobile game kind of shit, but we're finally going to see at least some of Union Cross or what happened, you know, merge into the main plot of the series now, you know?
Yeah. To me, the main thing, and I would need to look into it more, I haven't done a ton of, like, you know, lore hounding, like, just looking for shit. But to me, like, it raises the question of whether or not, like, Quadratum's where you go when you just straight up die in KH, or if it's only when you do the nature taboo type shit. Because then, what is her nature taboo?
Well, I think she just got murdered, and that's why she's there. Well, what's interesting...
So then that would change what the rules are to get to Quadratum, right. You know?
What's interesting to me is she doesn't say everybody here is there because of that. She says... And maybe I'm reading too much into it, but she says, this place is full of life, but for you and me, it's more like a place
afterworld
you go when you
or
die
whatever
kind
she's
of thing, right?
I think the subtitle said afterworld.
Right, afterworld or whatever. So it's more of an afterworld. So, like, she said for you and me specifically. And to me, that's like, okay, the guy holding the cell phone recording the dark side, he didn't die to get here. This is where he is.
Yeah. Well, then that also makes me think, is like, is just Master Xehanort just here?
Well, right, and that's why a lot of people
is he
think
just here?
The second it's the Master of Masters and then him
Young
on the
Xehanort.
Building, right? Which would be kind of weird considering we're supposed to be out of that arc now, but I don't know, he showed up in Melody Memory, right?
Yeah, I could definitely see it being like, okay, now it's a Young Xehanort now,
right.
You know?
Right, it could be Young Xehanort.
Where, like, Master Xehanort is kind of retired, but Young Xehanort is still a thing.
Well, the thing about Young Xehanort, too, is the way he died in KH3, he's like... Well, that would be weird, actually, if it was him, because he says he's going to go back and live his life normally. And then he goes, your time in this world is, and dies, right?
Yeah.
So it would be
strange.
Then
there's like the cutscenes with them with the Master of Masters.
I think it's Luzhu or because it's the Lost Masters arc. It makes it very clear at the beginning of this trailer that's what it is, right? And so, to me, it's got to connect in some way, and I think, you know, Luzhu bringing those Lost Masters over to this world to do what? I don't know. We don't know what any of it is, but
yeah. Or well, there's also the theory that a Young Xehanort at some point is going to get one of the like main darknesses in him or whatever, and that's what like changes him from being like normal type dude,
right? And that's hinted into, at in the opening movie of KH3 with he sees that purple comet, right?
Yeah, the light in his eyes turns like purple when he's like looking up. Yeah,
right.
So I think it still could be Young Xehanort in that fact where it's like, yo, they need to have like the darknesses on this side in Quadratum or something, right? And that he's like the vessel to bring it over. Which would then make me think, like, maybe, like, Ventus is going to have to come over or something because of Vanitas. Because Vanitas is, like, clearly one. So,
right.
At least partially. But, yeah, it's really cool. I think it's either Luzhu or Young Xehanort in the trailer.
I agree. So I'm on my Kingdom Hearts betting app on my phone, right? And I'm like, ooh, plus 100 odds to Luxord, dude. I'm probably dropping $10 on Luxord because you know what I mean. Like it could be he could be there. You know, like to me, if it's not Young Xehanort or Luzhu, I think it's Luxord.
I had a random thought about that, like whether or not it's Luxord. But then to me, I was like, okay, well, what if Luxord is from there, and then now when he died in KH3, he, like, rematerialized there or whatever, like became a person again. But then I was like, well, wait, we killed him in 2, and then he's, like, Norded again in 3, so, like...
Yeah, I don't know.
How would they... I mean, unless they just spawn killed him in Quadrato.
These poor guys always getting spawn killed,
they
man.
Get spawn killed, dude. It's messed up, dude. These it campers.
Is. Dude, these fucking noob-tubers with their spawn killing.
One-man army.
Right.
Jeez.
Bullshit. The only part of the trailer we haven't really touched on... I guess there's two parts. The narrator. According to a translation, they said the narrator is a character we know. But as far as I know, no one's been able to identify who? The voice actor.
Hmm. Even, like, people in Japan?
Yeah, I mean, that I've seen.
That's wild to me.
To me, that means it's a character from a game that doesn't have a voice actor, like a Union Cross type deal.
Like maybe it's Brain or some shit.
Yeah, like Brain... Actually, there's not a ton of characters like that, right?
Yeah.
Because of...
Or it could be like Luzhu in a previous body.
Right. But even then, he has a voice actor. Because of...
Well, like a body we don't know. I don't know,
right,
dude.
Right, right, right.
Or like a new body.
What's the movie called? Why can't I think of it?
Oh, in Backcover.
Backcover, thank you. I couldn't think of the name.
Yeah, he has a different voice actor in Backcover.
Right, it's not.
He's in his original body.
Right, so... There's very few characters that don't. Brain's one of them. Doesn't have a voice actor. The weird guy he meets at the end of Union Cross in Scholar Kaim. Strelitzia now does. She was one of the others.
Yeah. This is clearly a
Skold
man's voice,
Skold doesn't have
too.
One, right? Skold doesn't show up in back cover. But Ephemer does. And Ephemer shows up in KH3 as well with a voice actor.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. I don't know. I don't know who that could be. It could be anybody. Like, it could be like a cheeky trick where they're like, "Oh, it's a character you know," and it's like a Final Fantasy character or something. You know what I mean? It could be cheeky like that. Like, "Oh, it's Cid." You know? Like, I don't know. Like,
it's Noctis.
Oh, there you go, dude. It's Arden.
It's. Dude.
It's Somnus, Jason, because they played Somnus during the trailer, so it's Somnus.
True. Somnus.
Somnus. shout out to Tyler Rims. Anyway, the other part of the trailer we didn't talk about is Donald and Goofy.
And... Dude, I was so... It, like, warmed my heart when they were on screen, dude.
Yeah.
Because I was just like, you know, there's all the KH shit happening, the anime stuff happening on screen, and... I don't know. It just made me feel like very, it was just like serotonin going through my body, dude.
Right.
It was so great to see
them. The way only Donald and Goofy can do it.
True. True. And then I thought Sans popped up behind because there's just a small blue flame.
Yeah, dude.
I was like, oh no.
It's just like, you're about to have a bad time. And Donald would be like, no. Yeah, dude. No, it's Hades. But I know why we're going to Hades here, because Donald and Goofy think Sora's dead, and so who knows about dead people?
He's Hades. The Lord of the Dead.
No wonder nobody wants to die.
Dude, if Orin comes back, dude.
So this is what I was going to say.
Bust a nut.
I was saying this on stream to somebody. Nut. I think it was Sean, and I was like, you're telling me Orin doesn't live there?
Orin, dude, definitely he lives there, and he's like on some FF10 intro, like standing up on top of a building.
Right, dude. Sin's gonna show up.
Yeah, dude. Cute other world.
Yeah. The idea is it's not just people who die, right? It's people who have an unsettled thing and don't want to die, right? Didn't she say that?
Or am I getting that from
somewhere else?
No, the people who don't want to die is the I can't think. Final World.
Well, right, no.
Because Naminé's there.
Right. I thought that
and
was...
And Sora goes there when he dies the first
die,
time.
But they had something that they were holding on to.
Yeah.
But I thought she said the same thing about this. Maybe I'm misremembering. But Orin is like the poster child for like holding on to life even though you shouldn't, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So to me, it's like he's got to be there.
That would be so sick, dude.
Dude, I love Orin.
An updated version of Orin, dude?
Dude, yeah, oh give me HD God. Fucking Orin. Daddy Orin,
oh
dude.
My God, dude.
Anyway, yes. I think we covered most of this trailer. We're excited to see more. This game. The one thing is, this game is a ways out.
Dude, also, I want a quick say about the trailer. Dude, the dark side?
Oh, he's sick.
I never thought the dark sides could look so freaking cool. Like, I remember, like, how the dark side in this trailer looked like is how I remember the first dark side looking when I played KH1 for the first time.
Like, as a kid,
where
yeah.
Where you're just like, oh my God. Like, it was so fucking cool, dude.
Kaiju dark side, dude.
Yes, it was so cool. And then when the wings go back and stuff, it's so good.
I did see
it's
someone
so
on
good.
Twitter being cringe and going, that's not Dark Side. Actually, that's Dark Inferno.
I was going to say Dark Thorn or like.
What? And someone was like, what do you mean? It's Dark Inferno. Dark Inferno has like colorful horns and stuff. And they're like,
and
but
a scarf.
It has wings. It's like, okay, you're telling me Darkseid can't grow wings? Like,
Darkseids have wings.
Right.
They have, like, tiny little wings.
Yeah, they're way bigger in this version, but, like...
Yeah, just an updated version, yeah.
Like, stop being cringe, everybody.
Oh, my Lord. Well, actually... Bruh.
Actually, it's not Darkseid. It's Twilight Thorn, but he got the color change.
Shut up. Anyway, KH4.
He literally does the freaking dark side like I slam my hand down
yeah,
really slow.
Like,
what do you mean?
I know.
Anyway, random Twitter user.
He doesn't do the cringe thing that Dark Inferno does by being just a terrible boss. Anyway, when do we think this game's coming out, Jason, if we had to guess?
2025, dude.
Really?
I'm saying 2025.
I'm
like,
gonna say
maybe 2024 if, and the only reason I would say maybe 2024 is because I know Unreal Engine 5 is like so goated when it comes to being able to work on things at the same time as other developers. Yeah, so like that's like one of the major things of like Unreal Engine 5 is like being able to work on the same type of area, the same deal, like the same work on the same stuff, and it be able to work well. And not be laggy as hell. And so, like, as far as like a game from a game dev perspective, I think it might. Well, that and also the fact that they worked on Unreal Engine 4.
And most of that
they're
transfers
not having,
over to Unreal Engine 5.
Yeah, it transfers way. The skill set transfers way more. Like, it's like literally the same,
well,
the same developers
like
on the engine.
And stuff transfer
yeah.
over. So.
Right. So. Yeah. It's not like they're going from Luminous to Unreal Engine 4 again.
I'm going to say this. I think they reveal a release date of, like, November 2023. And then they push it back to January.
And then it gets pushed back to 2024, yeah.
That's what I think. It does the Kingdom Hearts 3 thing. That's what I think happens.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's 2024, and then it could bleed into 2025. But the only reason I was saying it could bleed, it might be 2024 still, is because of Unreal Engine 5 and, you know, not having to remake the whole game from Luminous to Unreal Engine 4 and all that shit.
So what I'm surprised about with this, and I said this on stream too, but, like, I thought for KH4 not being that far along, I thought they were working on a side game other than the mobile game.
Me too. I did not think we were going to get the next mainline, or I did not think that the next, like, huge game they were going to announce, like, console, the next console game they were going to announce, I thought it was for sure a spinoff. Like,
and what's interesting about this...
I would have gave you, like, 99-1 odds on that, too.
Right. What's interesting about this is the rumor is, or not the rumor, they've said that the reason they put this trailer out at this time is so it didn't get leaked, right?
Right.
But my tinfoil hat theory is that they did not want to come into this event with Dark Road comes out a year later than they said it was going to.
And another mobile game.
And another mobile game that looks like Missing Link does. And so they had to do it. And to me, if they had that spinoff game, they would have shown that, right?
Yeah. Unless they're, like, not really sure what they want to do. I mean, I don't know how they wouldn't be, because it's been so many years detached from the actual, like, from even from Remind, you know?
Right.
But yeah, unless it's one of those things where like, hey, they, because I don't know. I know they, you were telling me they've done some restructuring. I was talking about this with some people in the Discord, and I still thought that there was two Kingdom Hearts teams. Like there was still like the Tokyo team and the Osaka team. So I was thinking, okay, yeah, it makes sense. Like, you know, one kind of like going back and forth, like on some Call of Duty type shit, you know, where, you know, one developer's working on a game, and then during that essentially extends the period for the next studio to be able to develop the next game. So I was thinking the next game was going to be coming from the Tokyo team, but, from having talked to you and other people in the Discord, it sounds like it's something where they kind of just merge both teams. So if that's the case, that would also lead towards, you know, Kingdom Hearts 4 coming out sooner compared to the other ones, you
know,
because they have more people working on it.
According to Wikipedia, Jesus, there's Creative Business Unit 1, which is led by Yoshinori Kitase, who focuses on Final Fantasy and Kingdom Hearts. And what that means is they've made Final Fantasy. Yeah, no. So it sounds like originally, and maybe they've changed this, but the same team that works on Remake is the team that works on Kingdom Hearts.
Oh, so the Tokyo team is working on Remake? Like how we had thought of it previously?
That it's tough to say because it used to, okay. So then they said this department comprises of former Business Division 1, which is mainline Final Fantasy, such as the Remake, Business Division 3, Kingdom Hearts, Final Fantasy spinoffs, The World Ends With You, and Business Division 4, Final Fantasy spinoffs, like the City, NT, Theater Rhythm, Record Keeper. Then there's Creative Business Unit 2, which focuses on Dragon Quest, Nier, and Bravely. No, and Octopath Traveler. Creative Business Unit 3 is focused on Final Fantasy 14, and then Business Unit 4 is the Mana series, which I don't know why they have their own fucking business unit.
Yeah, they what?
What are they Kingdom Hearts. And I think this has probably changed. This was done in 2020, I guess. So maybe not that.
Maybe it was one of those things where they kind of merged stuff because of COVID and like working from home and stuff.
Maybe. I'm also guessing that Creative Business Unit 1 is ginormous.
Yeah.
And Kitase there's like teams in between. Of shit, right?
Yeah, I could see that.
So I'm guessing that they're the biggest division. I mean, they're Division 1. Division 2 makes Dragon Quest, which that makes sense because Dragon Quest is a huge deal in
Japan.
And then Business Unit 3 makes FF14, which is like a full-time fucking job, right?
Yeah, it's massive.
Creative Business Unit 4 just does other shit, right?
Yeah.
So, that seems crazy.
So,
that,
it's inconclusive.
Right, but that seems crazy that the same unit, business unit, is working on Remake and Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah.
And 16? Or no? Because
Yoshida is working on 16.
So they're doing 14 and 16.
Yeah.
Oh man, my head is spinning right now. I've gone cross.
The Square Enix. we're doing the rundown Square Enix.
This is crazy.
In general.
Anyway, we could speculate all day about when this game's gonna come out, but hopefully it's sooner rather than later because we want to play it.
I guess final answer 2024 now, because of like everything we talked about, where it's like potentially the team is larger, the engine stuff and all that. Yeah, I guess 2024. Copium.
I feel like there's got to be Creative Business Unit 1A and 1B.
Right. Yeah. At least.
That has to be the size of at least two teams.
At least.
You know, like because if there's no way they're not working on Remake right now.
Oh, dude, yeah, they're 100% working on Remake.
So it's like, they're working on Kingdom Hearts 4 and Remake at the same time. It's like, yikers. Anyway.
Like, you go in Monday, and you're working on Remake, and then you go in Tuesday, and you're working on KH4. Like, that would be so weird, dude. Man,
Especially because I
hate Kingdom Hearts days.
Well, like, if you look at, like, Final Fantasy 15 and Remake, which, that team wasn't even on there. And that's a team that's working on Forspoken, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But if you look at 15 and Remake, those were similar battle systems, at least slightly, where Kingdom Hearts is completely different from Remake, you know, like battle system-wise.
Yeah.
And I know not battle system's not everything, but anyway, we're getting in the weeds here. Let's talk about Missing Link, dude.
Oh, boy, dude. I cannot wait to have another mobile game to just absolutely fucking dunk on, dude. I cannot wait. Because, I mean, obviously, it's in very, very early form. Like, they didn't even say a release day on that, did they?
They said there'd be a closed beta this year, but they didn't leave any directions on what to do to be into that, to get into that.
Okay, okay. So, yeah, it's still who knows when, you know? Probably sometime next year. But, like, it looked scuffed, dude. In my opinion, it looked scuffed.
The environments, to me, looked terrible.
Yeah, that's the main thing that looked scuffed to me.
Especially like, Scala and Kayum.
You remember, like, when you would go and, like noclip in, like, Kingdom Hearts 2 or whatever?
Right.
Or, like, you would just look out into the distance in Kingdom Hearts 2, and the textures would just very obviously not be, like, they just looked bad because no one's going to be close to them. You know what I mean?
Right.
It looked like that, but it was like the thing you were walking up or like walking next to. It looked really bad.
Yeah, it was bad.
I get that it's a mobile game for sure, and it's definitely in development, but definitely looking rough.
And it looks like they're reusing some KH3 assets. Like they had the Kingdom of Corona, which I'm assuming is only going to be called the Kingdom from now on. Because I think that's what Disney changed the official name to. Like, they don't call
that's
it the Kingdom
crazy.
Of Corona anymore. They just go with the Kingdom.
That's crazy.
So I'm assuming we're gonna go to Monsters, Inc., and we're going to go to Kingdom, and we're going to go to...
It's just going to be a KH3 reuse, like, right, asset reuse. Right. Yeah.
And that's why those areas looked good. The Scalded Kayum, it's almost like... Some of the buildings were way too small for the character model. Like, it was almost like you were, like, a big person walking around in this small city. You know what I mean?
Like, they didn't rescale it or anything.
Right. It just looked weird. The battle system looked fine. I don't really understand it yet. But you use trophies to use attacks similar to how Union Cross used medals. And that's probably the gacha element.
Yeah, yeah. I could definitely see that. To me, when I was seeing the... when I was seeing that, it literally just, like, the Super Smash Bros. Melee music was playing in my head
right,
for, like,
that's
what
the... That's what it looked
like to me, too. When you're, like, putting coins into the frickin', the, like... What are they, like, the little gumball machine-looking thing?
Yeah, the gacha machines. That's what they are, yeah.
That's literally what I'm like. I could hear the music in my head, like, da 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 da. But yeah, I think it's cool. I think that the trophy things look infinitely better than these shitty ass cards that were in Dark Road.
Yeah.
Like, literally, it's a JPEG of freaking Abu. Like, are you kidding me, dude? Like, at least these are like 3D renders. Like, you could easily do ones where they're like, Roxas is in like the middle of his DM, right? Where like all around the circle of like the trophy stand, like you have like the lights shooting up and shit. Like that could look super cool.
Agreed.
And could be really well done compared to just freaking Christmas Roxas was the best one, dude. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, for sure.
It looks like this is a freaking fan art, bro. What is this?
So there's definitely
I'm hoping that
some
it looks
more
good.
There's some more info out there about this game that I was trying to find before we started, but I decided we should just make this like our impressions.
Yeah.
But there is a Pokemon Go element to this game. That is
what,
made
have to catch the medals?
That is official. I don't understand. It was said that it has a Pokemon Go element, but it's also the game can also be played inside as well. So like they're not
there's
fully
just like,
leaning into it.
I go to the park and there's like a like darkness pouring out or
I don't
something.
Know. And it also said it's 6-player multiplayer.
What?
So you and up to 5 friends can link up, I guess, and be the missing links yourself. I don't
know.
Dude,
when you go to do the gyms.
Yeah, I guess. I don't really know. I don't really know what to make of this game. We need more. We will. I'm gonna make this declaration right now, Jason. One of us will be playing this game for podcasting reasons.
I mean, we will. We'll both be playing it at the beginning for sure.
But one of us will be playing this game for way too long for podcasting reasons.
One of us will be forced to play it.
One of us, and that one of us is me.
We'll see.
It's definitely me. Jason took the Union Cross bullet, and I've been paying for it ever since. So yeah, well, there's not much to say more about it other than that version of Dearly Beloved fucking slapped, and I don't care what you say.
Nah, dude. Okay. Let me be clear. I hated the beginning of it, where, like, it very much felt like what I would see in, like, a Nintendo presentation, bro. I didn't like it, bro. Like, I don't know.
So you're telling me, like, this is what the, you're telling
the
me,
boom,
Jason.
The, like, boom claps that, like, went into it, I was like, I am not a fan of this shit, dude. What in the hell? Is this, like a... Let's, like, snap to that type shit. Like, I didn't like it, dude.
Let me get this clear. Let me make this clear.
Let me be clear.
So what you're saying is, Yoko Shimomura,
mm-hmm.
The goddess,
yes,
never misses.
Yeah, with a capital G.
Missed? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
I feel like the boom clap was not her, dude.
It was her.
I feel like somebody else added the boom.
She
clap,
said it was
dude.
Her.
Dude, send the link, dude.
She said it was her.
Show me the proof.
I'm not going to find it right now.
Show me the proof. Dude, I'm not. It's a miss for me, dude.
Wow.
It's a miss for me. I don't like the boom claps.
You know what this reminds me of?
Don't you dare say that this is like the freaking... The fact that Don't Think Twice is a swing beat. Don't you dare say that. It is not the same at all. I said I only dislike the intro because of these cheeky ass boom claps. How dare you?
Hey, I didn't say it.
I'm not saying the whole song is a miss. I'm saying
say
the
it.
Boom claps are a miss.
I don't know. Anyway, speaking of songs that are dope and not a miss.
Brand new phone game, Mr. Nomura. Download BlueStacks and grind on your computer. Make some new friends, they all have big keys. They'll all be dead by the time we reach chapter 3. Dark Road, take me home to the place where I belong. Scarlet Kaya, Zeno Mama, take me home. Dark Road.
The Dark Road theme played during that. Dark Road, Jason.
No boom claps.
let me be clear. No boom claps.
Good.
Hey, Michelle, you won't believe this. Mike just tried to compare Jason to Bloody Biscuit.
That's stop.
It's fucking ridiculous. That guy doesn't even like the Koopa coin. Anyway, Dark Road. Dark Road is coming out in August, maybe, possibly. Do you trust
Ain't
them?
Ain't no way, bro. Ain't no way.
Do you trust them at all?
I don't trust a thing these Dark Road devs say. I don't care, bro. I do not care. This is not even me putting on an act for the podcast. I don't trust a goddamn thing these Dark Road devs say, bro. They cannot be trusted.
They said, hey, it's coming out in September. And now they're coming out like, yo, August. August is the time. So almost a full year later.
It's probably going to be delayed.
That's what I'm saying, dude. This ain't coming out this year. They're liars.
Yeah, bro. I don't know, bro. These two devs are being worked to the bone.
Right, dude.
these two animators.
They're creative business group number 7, dude. They're low on the totem pole.
When you're below Secret of Mana, bro. Yeah, oh, dude, my
they're,
God.
They're below Secret of Mana, dude. They're down there. They're hanging out with Brave Exvius, dude.
They wake up on the wrong side of bed every day knowing that they're...
Bro, there's a hallway of Square Enix, bro. And you walk down it, right? And you walk past the mana group. And you walk past, you know, fucking World of Final Fantasy. And you...
The world ends with you.
You walk past the world ends with you room. And then, like, in a dimly lit part of the hallway where, like, the light is...
It's like flickering out.
Flickering. And there's fucking trash, all like rats running around. You open the door, and there's the two animators from Dark Road, dude, just plugging away.
Sunken ass eyes.
Dude.
Like,
chain smoking. Like, just fucking.
They're chained to their desks.
Mr. Nomura, please let us go home to our families. And he says, no, you must finish Xehanort's backstory. It's important.
This was your idea.
Now you will finish it.
We'll never have another idea again, we swear.
No. And then they look over and they're like, well, at least we're not the Chrono team. And it's just like an empty fucking room full of skeletons. So yeah, Dark Road, Take Me Home, all that shit. Like, we're going to see what happens. Hopefully it comes out in August. It's not going to, though.
I mean, like, I'm excited for it, you
know?
What
they showed was cool.
Because, yeah. Like, you know, some actual fucking story. Right. You know what I mean? And apparently it's supposed to all be out at once.
Right.
So, we'll finally get closure on that, hopefully. And, copium. It definitely won't lead into something else.
No. It won't be.
If it does,
find
if
out
it does lead into something else,
Link.
Yeah, that's the only thing where I'm like, okay, if it doesn't, like, fully close everything and it just goes into Missing Link, I'm fine with that. But to me, Missing Link seems like it's, you know, Brain wakes up in this area and then now, like, that's
right.
What happened. Like, this is the sequel to Union Cross, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Rather than Dark Road. And I hope it's the Union Cross devs rather than the fucking Dark Road devs.
I actually think it's set between Union Cross and Dark Road.
Okay.
So
that
it's
makes
supposed
sense.
To lead up to Dark Road.
That would make sense.
So it would be weird if Dark Road ends with, like, oh, what happened before this, right?
Yeah, that would really be weird.
Yeah, it'd be weird. Anyway, we are going to spend the next few weeks getting deeper into these trailers and talking more about Q&As and stuff like that. But we're going to take a short break, Jason. And when we come back, we're going to discuss March Caprice and KH20 because these are events that happened while we were kind of
Yay!
On hiatus. So we're going to discuss that. And then we're going to give you guys a new question of the week to go over. So
yo, new question of the week.
We'll be right back.
This is Richard Epcar. Welcome to the Ansem Report podcast. Come to the darkness.
Welcome back to the Ansem Report podcast. Jason, this is normally the time where I'd say it's time for the question of the week, but it's not because we didn't have one a couple weeks ago. So let's talk about March Caprice and KH20.
Hell yeah, dude.
Hell yeah. Thank you to everybody who came out for our event for March Caprice, which was the 151st episode, and our event for KH20, where we were going to do randomizer versus randomizer, and then my computer decided to take a shit. So I just raced
Unlucky.
Jason in KH3, and I won.
He beat my ass.
I'm awesome. I got Skull Skip, first time ever. Look at me.
It was pretty juiced.
It was. Both those events were a lot of fun. March Caprice definitely was a blast. And there's just something about March Caprice over 3 days that gives you that, like, warm, fuzzy feeling.
Sounds like a KH title, dude.
March Caprice over 3 days. Yeah, that's next year's. March Caprice
you're
3
welcome.
Over 3 days. You're welcome, Shadowy Organization. You can use that. But
3 over 3 days.
3 over 3 days. there's something about that event where, and I really liked what KH20 did, where they had like a whole month of events, you know, and then the in-person thing. But
yeah,
I like
that
the March Caprice thing condensed too, because it's just, it feels like a celebration for those 3 days. And I'm sure the people at the KH20 event felt the same way about what they were doing, right?
Yeah, that seemed like incredibly hype. That was like overwhelmingly hype to me.
Right. So March
as Caprice, an introvert.
Yeah, as an introvert, too hype. March Caprice had this amazing concert. 2 day concert.
Dude. Oh my god, it was so good.
By the charismatic friend of the podcast, Keynote.
Dude, absolute legendary performance. I absolutely loved that. Keynote had this thing where he's like, essentially, like he's essentially coming out on stage and being like, okay, for our next act type thing, right?
Right.
And I loved it. It just added this bit of like personalization and like ownership of setting up the concert and stuff that I really think he deserved as well, right? Like if he didn't do that, it would have just, you wouldn't know like how much, like so many different people had their hand in so many different projects and stuff. And so it made it just feel much more personal and connected overall as
Definitely.
Well.
Definitely. That's what I was going to say, is it made it feel connected. And it made it just, instead of just like a collection of songs that are very
like playlist
that a playlist that a bunch of people made, that which they're all very talented. It felt like Keynote was saying, "Hey, I've curated this list for you guys to listen to tonight. Come hang out with me while we listen to this music together." And both days it was absolutely phenomenal, and it was the highlight of March Caprice for me, with the exception of our event, which I really loved, and that's like I'm biased because. We had a lot of fun with our live podcast, and we always do. And
yeah, for sure. Well, and also to me, it's like obviously, like as of now, it's kind of just like a YouTube playlist type deal, right?
Right.
But like because of that concert and because of how it was set up and everything, it, like that YouTube playlist isn't just a YouTube playlist to me anymore. You know, like it has more. Like I'll remember like. Oh, dude, I remember when this came on during the concert and stuff. It very much is like how you remember a concert. If you've ever been to a concert for one of your favorite bands, like you're like, oh, I remember when this happened and like this type of stuff. Like you'll remember, oh, what people were like spamming in the chat or whatever, or, you know, what Keynote said like before they came on, like that type of stuff. It's just really cool. It adds to it. It makes it much more of it gives it like core memories to that experience.
Well, and what was really special for me, and I don't, you probably feel the same way, but we got to follow up the first day of the concert, which was terrifying.
Yeah.
But also, I felt very cool. You know what I mean? Like because of the concert, it was like, this is like, March Caprice is like a Kingdom Hearts music festival, right? And... Mm. And at the top of day one were the Super Spaghetti Bros. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
And that it made me have that feeling, and I was like, this is so fucking cool, and so many cool people came out. Even people that were, like, obviously, when I'm doing a tier list like that, I'm memeing and being antagonistic on purpose, you know? Because that's part of the fun, right?
Yeah, you gotta keep the chat popping.
But even the people who were, like, being mean, it was just like cool, you know what I mean? It was just like,
yeah, I did not even care, bro.
Right, because that's part of the fun, is like yeah, Union Cross cutscenes, dog shit, dude, you know what I mean? Like, but it was so much fun, and it was so cool. Like, I really am grateful to March Caprice for letting us follow up that concert, because, you know, they could have put us on at like 2 a.m. or something when no one's watching,
yeah,
and. But actually, both events of March Caprice, they've been very nice to us with our time slot, because it's just like a goofy thing we do. Like, it's not, I don't know, like, yeah, I put some effort into it, like, to make it look nice, you know what I mean? But it's just us going, this cutscene good, this cutscene bad, and joking,
yeah.
You know what I mean? And so it's like,
yeah.
It's very cool of them that they're so supportive, and they push us in that spot. So thank you to March Caprice for that. That was really awesome.
Thanks.
KH20, however, that was, I was watching a lot of that stream when they were doing the live stuff, and I just want to say, shout out to Guides and his crew, because
it's nuts.
A lot of people were expecting to watch this event and go crash and burn, right? Not they wanted to.
Oh, that's yeah. What it just was
expecting.
Like
expecting.
It was so much.
And Guides, dude.
How could you get it right the first time type deal?
Right. And he killed it, man. It sounds like, yeah. For all intents and purposes, he killed it. I think that venue that they did, that's super cool that they let them do all that. Like, full disclosure, I work in a similar place. It's smaller and it doesn't have a bar, but it's like the same kind of idea. And we would never in a million years allow that kind of event to happen.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it's taking up so much of your headspace at a business like that, right? But, man. I was just so impressed with, and then you're also streaming it, which, frankly, if it were me, I probably would have been like, the stream ain't worth it. You know what I mean? Like, I ain't doing all this, but Guides, man.
Right, right.
What a legend, and I know they learned a lot that they're going to take in the next year for KH Reconnect, which is the next event for next year, and they're, right now, I don't know when the poll closes, but I know if you go follow KH Reconnect on Twitter, they have a poll up right now where they're asking for locations for next year's event.
Yep, yep.
And so if you want to put in your vote for, hey, I think, you know,
at this venue or this, whatever,
like,
or
this city,
this or...
area, you know, they're looking for that kind of feedback. I have an inside track, and I'm not going to say who told me this, but someone told me that Los Angeles is in the lead. And I'm booing right now. We're not trying to go to California. No. Okay, guys, that's a way across.
Okay, we're
going
to go to
country.
California, not Los Angeles, dude. That's like...
Yeah, actually, can we get it in like Sacramento or San... Nah, not San Francisco. So... That sucks, too. But
somewhere a bit smaller, bro.
Yeah, LA, get the fuck out of here. But somewhere like Chicago, but like suburby, because there's a lot of like cool like venues around there.
Yeah if it was like a suburb for sure. Yeah,
right. The Rosemont is the one that people keep telling me is the place to be. They have a lot of convention stuff there, but yeah, so go vote wherever you want. Don't let me influence you, but we're hoping to be able to go next year depending on what's going on. So
hell yeah.
And I'm hoping to talk Guides into a live Ansem Report podcast from from the event, which is probably the scariest thing I can think of.
Dude, that's hype to me, dude.
It's hype, but I'm like, that's terrifying. You know what I mean?
To me, it's only terrifying for like the 2 minutes before. You know what I mean? Like,
oh,
I'm
yeah.
absolutely shitting myself for the 2 minutes before. But like leading up to it, I'm like, hey, let's fucking go.
Right.
And then once it starts, then, you know.
I'm definitely into
rolling.
The idea. But like you said, leading up to it, I'm going to be like vomiting in the bathroom beforehand. You know what I mean? And like, oh, fuck. I can't do it. I can't. And you're going to have to slap me Will Smith style, dude. Slap the fuck out of me. And then,
then
I'm
going to
shake my head and go, all right, I'm ready. And I'm going to slam a fucking energy drink. And then we're going to go out there and put on the fucking show of our lives.
He's going to shotgun a rise, dude.
Yeah, all right, I'm ready. But that would be like,
hell yeah.
That's like pie in the sky. That would be awesome.
And do a shot.
Yeah, dude, I'm gonna be fucked up.
Yeah. We come out on stage at this nice event, and we're just sloppy as fuck.
Yeah, dude, we're just fucking sloppy as fuck.
I'm just drunk as hell.
Oh,
I just
dude,
don't even
could,
really drink, but I'm just drunk as hell.
We could do a bit where we pre. Oh, that would be so funny. That would be so funny. Anyway,
spoilers.
Oh, I mean.
Spoilers.
Maybe I'll redact that part. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, we're excited.
Or just bleep it like a swear word.
Congratulations to both committees for putting on incredible events. March Caprice and KH20. I am
yeah.
so proud to be a member of this community when I think of things like that. Even though sometimes it is tough to be in this community because some people are weird as shit, you guys are the pillars that we should look to.
Yeah, the shining lights, dude.
Right. The seven guardians of light, but more. There's more of you than that. And if you guys didn't get involved in these events at all, please, please, please consider getting involved next year, because the people that went to KH20th had, or KH20 had the time of their life.
My favorite thing to come out of KH20 specifically is the fucking picture of Landy hanging out the car door. And I think it was like Guides kept reposting it and was like, please just meme the hell out of this picture.
Yeah.
Because it's just, it is such a memeable picture, but it's also like high quality as like, I don't know who the hell took this picture, because this is like, it was like kind of in the evening type deal. Like, right. You don't really got good lighting. Like, it just looked goated as hell. So that's my favorite thing to come out of it. The memes and stuff. Although there was like a million other really cool things, but I'm a memer, dude. I got to go.
You are a memer. But yeah. Shout out to both those events, man. I hope to see both of them thriving next year too, because they're both great events that deserve all the praise, and they bring people together, and they're positive, and there's nothing negative about them. You know, it's all love. So
I'm going to put in an application to Guides that I'll be his, like, because he apparently for like so much of it, he was doing like the Donald voice and stuff like all the time, like doing it so much. Like, I'm going to be there with like a little carton, like a little thing. And I'm just going to have like fucking like Gollum juice.
Gollum juice.
For the people who know, you're real ones, shout out to you. But it's like honey and like ginger and like just like things like soothe your throat.
Right,
dude.
Right.
I'm just gonna be on standby with that shit. So that he doesn't destroy his throat.
Jesus.
I got like 4 bottles of that shit. I got like a one of those like water sprayer things with like the fan on it. I gotta like just like follow him around, figure out, make sure his throat's good, make sure he's hydrated, because apparently he was throwing his freaking voice out. I remember it was like the Million Dreams Award or whatever, and like I was like, how is this man's voice is like just shot as hell, like, oh my god, like full vocal fry, oh yeah. My god.
Well, and it's like it's like there are a few people in the Kingdom Hearts community or any community that care as much as KH Guides, dude.
Yeah.
What a legend.
Absolute legend.
We are happy and proud to have him as a member of the Kingdom Hearts community, for sure.
True.
Anyway, Jason, we got a set of question of the week for next week, and I wanted your input on this. We could either say, hey, everybody, what was your favorite event or moment from March Caprice or KH20, or both, if you want to say both? Or what are your thoughts on the KH20th event overall, which is, you know, the trailer and all that stuff? What one would you rather do?
I think I'd rather do, you know, the events. Like March Caprice and KH20. Because, like, I feel like we're going to be talking about the trailer for way longer. You know what I mean?
For
like,
sure.
And, like, the trailers to come and, like, all this other stuff. So
we can, if we want to do that for the week, the question of the week after, we could always do that.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Okay. I agree. So, guys, for next week's question of the week, we want to know, what was your favorite event for March Caprice or KH20 or both? Let us know.
And if you haven't seen either of those, there is lots of VODs, yes. Lots of YouTube videos, like so much. Go to like, check out both their Twitters and stuff. They'll have links to like a million different things. Check out some of the stuff. It's so freaking cool. Whether it's like music, art, just gameplay, dope ass cosplays, like all this type of stuff. Check it all out. It's super cool. And it's still there. It's still there and it's still popping.
Yep. Definitely. Definitely. Anyway, guys, that's going to do it for season two, episode one of the Ansem Report podcast.
That is it for season one as
I'm
well.
I'm
going to
be like season two.
Season one is
two.
Done.
Yeah, season one's done. It's in the books. Season two's here. It's new season, new me, you know?
Yeah, dude.
And we appreciate you guys supporting us when we take our little breaks and stuff, but we're back, baby, every week. Coming at you.
We are back.
Back.
The longest running.
So, we'll see you guys next week for episode 2 of season 2.
We just feel so freaking privileged to have this song as the theme of
Radiant
the Ansem
Garden,
Report
baby.
Podcast, dude. Shout outs to Shane Plunkett and Jesse Wright of Meadow Vista Media. They're freaking juiced, dude.
Yes. Yes. Thank you. Thank
check
you.
Them out.
Check them out.
And if you heard that intro and you were like, ooh. Yes. Also shout out to David Russell. The legend. But if you were like, ooh, because I know you were. You were like, dang, I never heard this before. Or you were like, yo, I heard this before and it's a banger. Go check them out. They're absolute legends.
Definitely. All right, Jason, that's going to do it for this week's episode. Hit him with it, boss.
May your heart be your guiding key.
Thank you.
Now fuck off.
Wait, are you British?
Before I shoot you in your mathematics class.
This has been Season 2, Episode 1 of the Ansem Report Podcast. Thank you all for listening. Our theme song is a cover of the themes from Hollow Bastion called Radiant Garden. The arrangement was by Shane Plunkett, also known as Fabio the Iguana, and features David Russell on piano. The track was produced and mixed by Shane Plunkett and Jesse Wright under the umbrella of their music production company, Meadow Vista Media, and we thank them for allowing us to use that song on the show. We also have a Patreon where you guys can support the show and other projects at patreon.com/superspaghettibros. And we have a lot of really cool patrons that I'm going to read off right now. Nesquik, Billy the Kid Lawrence, Corinne Berg, DP Grant, Elbow Juice, Energy Scott, SB Cat, Famous for Nothing, Gavin Dodson, Iron Aggro, Iron Daddy Sean, It's Your Boy Woody, Pokemon Trainer J, Lisa S, Mr. Trumpeter 711, Matt M, Orpheus Joshua, Preferred Whale 6, Sean underscore AFK, Swarles Barkley, Tyler Rims, Vigilus Gaming, Water KH, Yawn Song, Zach P, Chillery, Lands of Masters, Egglag, Frank Berg, Regular Pat, Shane Plunkett, aka Fabio the Iguana, Unholy Dolphin, Vetus, What's Up Carl, Yeetus Vanitas Brundox, Chene, Damon Z, Kyrie's Bro, Travis Town Jr., Bill Games, and Afroroxus. Thank you guys so much for supporting us, and without you guys, we wouldn't be able to do what we do. Go check out our Patreon at patreon.com/superspaghettibros if you are interested in supporting the show or what we do. Thanks again, guys. We'll see you next week for Season 2, Episode 2, where we're going to dive into the Q&A and get a little deeper into the different trailers and talk about a little more info we might find out by then. So thank you guys for watching. We'll see you next week.
Shit.